All right, let's take our Bibles this evening, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And I just want to say, I was thinking about this as we were singing, I just appreciate the faithfulness of you, each of you coming tonight. I know I say that on Sunday morning, faithfulness of people, but to come back again on Sunday night, a lot of people have kind of just deserted that and just decide, oh, we got other things we need to do. But it's honoring to the Lord when we are faithful to his house. And I just want to thank you for being faithful tonight. Philippians chapter 2, we're talking tonight about faithful messengers. Verse 19 says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the example of these two faithful messengers. We thank you for how they ministered to the Apostle Paul, and Father, we thank you for how they are examples to us of how we can be faithful to you. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand more about you tonight. Help us to understand how we can honor you through our service. Father, I pray that you would use me, that you would give me clarity of thought and speech, that you would be glorified tonight in what is said. In Jesus' name, amen. So here in this passage, we have two men that had shown themselves to be faithful to the work of the Lord, so much so that they were willing to give of themselves, even to the point of sacrificing their own health, their comfort, and safety in order to minister to others. I want to look tonight at a couple other references of what the Bible says about those who are faithful. Look at Numbers chapter 12. We're going to go to a number of passages here at the beginning here. So I'm not going to make it quite like a Bible sword drill, but we might move a little quicker. Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. It says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. God was talking to Moses, or to Miriam and Aaron here, because Miriam and Aaron thought that Moses was taking too much upon himself. And it says here that God didn't consider Moses. It says in verse 6, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. In other words, God said, Moses is not a prophet. He said, I'm not speaking to him in a vision or in a dream. He said, Moses is faithful in all his house, and I'll speak to Moses face to face. I'll speak to Moses man to man. And so God considered Moses faithful. He didn't consider him a prophet. And God rebukes Miriam and Aaron here for speaking out against Moses. And we see here that God defends the faithful. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 35. Now Eli had just been told his sons were going to die because of their wickedness. And we see here in verse 35, I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And we see that God says, Eli, your priestly line is going to be cut off. He says, you've not been faithful to me. It says, God will raise up another priest who is faithful, who did according to God's heart and mind. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 44, we find who that faithful priest was. Ezekiel 44. And verse 15 and 16. Ezekiel 44:15 says, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And so we see here Zadok is likely the one that is being spoken of back in 1 Samuel, that is the one that the priestly line is taken into. And so, see, God rewards the faithful. Zadok has proved himself to be faithful, and God allowed him to carry on the priestly line. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 8, we won't turn there, but Nehemiah 7, 8 talks about how God chose Abraham. And Nehemiah was referring back to that. So God chose Abraham because he was faithful. And he gave the descendants of Abraham the land of Canaan because of Abraham's faithfulness. And again, God blesses faithfulness. Turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. While you're turning there, I'll read Psalm 31, verse 23. You're looking up Proverbs 11, 13. Psalm 31, 23 says, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Proverbs 11, 13 says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. And so we see here that a faithful man uses discretion in his speech. He's very discerning in what he says, what he shares. Proverbs 13:7, just the next couple chapters over, 13:17. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. A quote that I've found on this is, an ambassador who faithfully discharges his trust and serves the interests of those who employ him is health. He is health to those by whom and for whom he is employed, heals differences that are between them, and preserves a good understanding. He is health to himself, for he secures his own interests. Proverbs 14:5 says, a faithful witness will not lie. Okay? A faithful witness will not lie. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? It's hard to find faithful men. Another reference to go along with it is Psalm 12:1. It says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Faithfulness is not easily found. Proverbs 25, verse 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. So that faithfulness is refreshing to those who send him. And then 1 Corinthians 10:13, our last one here. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is what? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So God is faithful. He is our example of faithfulness. And faithful has the idea of being true or being certain, being trustworthy. We know that God is always those things. And we see here some other character traits of men who are faithful. So to put it in a simple definition, to be faithful is to be so committed to our master, there is no reason to think that we should not be obedient to what we are called to do. So being so faithful to our master, not giving any reason to think that we're not going to obey what our master asks us to do. And so we see here in Philippians chapter 2 that Paul speaks of Timothy and Epaphroditus, and he points out some different things about them that prove their faithfulness. First of all, Timothy in verse 19, he says, I trust the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you. So Paul expresses his desire that if the Lord would allow it, he wants to send Timothy to the church at Philippi. And he wants to send him so that he can kind of get a report to see how the church there is doing. Why Timothy? If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Also in 1 Timothy 1, 2 and 2 Timothy 1, 2, Paul says, calls Timothy his son in the faith. And so Paul had trained Timothy. He had nurtured him as a father does his son. And notice what he says about Timothy in this passage. I want to go back to one more passage in Acts chapter 16. We looked at this a few weeks ago when we started talking about Philippians. Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. It says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. And so we see here why Timothy? Because first of all, Timothy had a good reputation. He had a godly reputation. He had a godly reputation. It wasn't just that Timothy was a good citizen. It wasn't just that he had a good name among the people in the community. It says here he was well reported of by the brethren. He had a godly reputation. He had a reputation of one who was upholding truth, one who was a follower of Christ. So he had a godly reputation. Secondly, he would give an accurate report. Look at verse 19 of Philippians chapter 2. He sends Timothy, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Paul wouldn't have sent Timothy if he didn't believe he would have given him an accurate report. And so he sends Timothy because he knows Timothy's character. Not only had Paul nurtured him, but it says here that Timothy had a good upbringing by his mother, by his grandmother. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 tells us that. 2 Timothy 1, 5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith or the sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And so Timothy had good rearing by his grandmother, by his mother and by his grandmother. Timothy was one of good character. And Paul was confident because of Timothy's character that he would give an accurate report of the condition of the church in Philippi. So he says, I want to send Timothy because I know his character. I know what he'll say. I know that he'll be accurate. And then thirdly, we see in verse 20 that he was like-minded. That's another reason why Paul wanted to send Timothy. He was like-minded. We see here it says, for I have no man like-minded. In other words, Timothy is like-minded with me. I don't know of anyone else that's on the same page like Timothy is. Spiritual unity is very important. When people agree and operate on biblical principles, there is unity. Our unity is found in our common bond in Christ, not in our social status, not in our personalities, our hobbies, our music, our favorite pastimes, but rather it's found in the steadfast principles of God's word. When this country was founded several hundred years ago, why was there such unity among those men that signed the Declaration of Independence? Because it was founded on something that was consistent. It was founded on something that was solid. Those men were unified around the principles of God's word. And Paul says Timothy is like-minded. Timothy has that same godly mindset. Paul knew that he and Timothy were in agreement on spiritual matters. They understood what the Bible said and its importance in daily life. And so when he sent Timothy, he knew he would have a similar mindset. and they would be unified in their perspective and in their care of the believers. Paul says Timothy was a son in the faith, and so he's sending his son because he believed that he would give a similar report. But then he says in verse 20 also, he says Timothy was selfless. Another example of another reason for showing he was faithful. It says, verse 20, who will naturally care for your state. And Paul knew that Timothy had a heart for the believers. He knew that he would naturally or sincerely care for the believers, care for their condition. He would come to them with a sincere desire to help them. He wasn't just there to gossip and find out what they're doing. He was coming to help them, to say, what can I do to minister to you? And so he was selfless. And because Paul considered him his own son in the faith, it was like a father sending his son on an important mission. He knew the care that Timothy had for them, and he would be seeking their best and not his own. Unfortunately, that's not true of everyone who ministers for the Lord. Look at verse 21. Paul says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Paul mentions in 2 Timothy 4:16 that he had a group of people that was around him, that surrounded him. But when Paul began to face persecution, when Paul began to face difficulty and questioning from authorities, what happened? He said, no man stood with me. They all deserted him when things got difficult. Whether it was because it was outside of their comfort zone or they weren't willing to give up everything as Paul had, they deserted him. And Paul knew that Timothy had more of a desire to see the work of Christ go forward than for his own comfort. He was selfless. And then the other final thing here we see with Timothy is he was proven. Verse 22 says, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Once again, Paul makes mention of Timothy's godly reputation. And as a son developed similar interests with his father, so Timothy had the same love for the gospel and for the believers. You know, I always enjoy the opportunity to work together with my son. I had another opportunity while he was home. We were just cutting trees, but again, it's an opportunity to work together, and I enjoy that, working with him. He's very diligent. He's very thorough. He thinks things through, and I learn from him. He's very, very hardworking. He has a good work ethic. We work well together, and we're able to share ideas of how to do the work most effectively, and I believe that's where Paul and Timothy were. They were able to share with each other and share the burden, share the heart of the work. They had that same camaraderie. In verses 23 and 24, we see Paul's desire was to send Timothy, but his ultimate desire was to be able to visit the believers at Philippi himself. He says in verse 23, him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord, I also myself shall come shortly. And that was always Paul's desire. He wrote these letters, and many times he would say, I want to come and see you. I want to come and minister to you. I want to come and see how you're doing. But he said, I'll send this person before me to give me an account of how you're doing. And so Paul says here in verse 25, he says, it was necessary then to send Epaphroditus. Now, who is Epaphroditus? Epaphroditus is only mentioned in the book of Philippians. He was a member of the church in Philippi, and he was sent by the church to take a care package to Paul in Rome. However, it says when he was in Rome, he became very sick and even close to death, Paul says. But God healed him. Now, look at Paul's description of Epaphroditus in verses 25 to 30. First of all, he says, and he just uses several words here in verse 25, he says, Paul, Epaphroditus first was my brother. That shows he was a fellow believer. He was going along with the work of the gospel that Paul was doing as well. He was a fellow believer. He was a brother. He was a companion in labor. He was engaged in the same work of the gospel that Paul was. He was a fellow soldier. Christians and Christian ministers are compared to soldiers. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4, it says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And so Epaphroditus was a fellow soldier. We are in a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6, 12 through 13 tells us that. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Is there any doubt, as you look at society around us, is there any doubt that the battle that we face is spiritual? Do you think these people are coming up with these things on their own? The devil has his hand in it, you can be sure. We are in a spiritual battle. Epaphroditus was a fellow soldier. He was in the battle. He was engaging himself in the battle. He was faithful. And then he says here, he was your messenger. The believers had sent things to Paul that would meet his needs. They had given a care package. Epaphroditus took that care package to Paul. See, prison in those days was not like prison we hear of today. I personally know someone who was in prison, and his time came up to be released. He was released. He walked out. And the next day, he walked right back in. It was easier for him in prison than it was out in society. That's not what prison was like in Paul's day. Prisoners had no rights. They had no privileges. They didn't have 3 square meals a day. They didn't have all the entertainment they wanted. They didn't have a free education. They didn't have any of that. They sat in stocks and bonds. And sometimes even their food would need to be provided to them from those outside. And therefore, Epaphroditus came and he ministered to Paul. He brought this care package to Paul so that Paul would have the things he needed. And it says, and as you read through the scripture, you see that Paul has even had some health problems. And perhaps Epaphroditus came to him ministering to his health needs. But that was Epaphroditus' responsibility. So he was a messenger. He ministered to Paul's wants. The next thing we see here, he ministered to Paul's wants. He didn't just drop off this parcel and say, well, Paul, hope it's helpful to you. See you later. He stayed with Paul. He ministered any way that he could. And whether it was through encouragement or comfort or physical, meeting a physical need of helping bandage wounds that he received from beatings, I don't know. But he ministered to Paul. He was a blessing to him. And then it says here in verse 26, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because ye had heard that he had been sick. And so we see again that Epaphroditus was selfless. Yes, he had gone. He had represented the church in Philippi to Paul. But then again, he hears that he got sick. And he hears that the church got word of it back in Philippi. And he's like, I don't want them to worry about me. I don't want them to be concerned about me. I'll be okay. It's not me that's the focus here. It's Christ and his work. He was willing to set aside his own comfort and health to minister to Paul. And this took a toll on him. It says here in verse 27, for he was indeed was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and Paul says, on me also. You see, Paul would have been heartbroken if Epaphroditus had died while he was ministering to him. And so Paul says, God had mercy on me too. I didn't want him to die. I didn't want him. I wanted him to get better. Even in his sickness, Epaphroditus was burdened for the believers at Philippi because they heard he was sick. He didn't want them to worry about him. But in his last few verses here, Paul is exhorting the Philippian believers to receive Epaphroditus with much care and gladness because he was faithful in his service. In verses 8 to 30, it says, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. He was faithful in his service. He gave all he could to minister to Paul on behalf of the other believers. It was like he gave of himself, and then he went beyond that to supply what they could not give themselves. You see, they sent Epaphroditus, but you see, it's like Epaphroditus took this extra burden on himself of all these other believers and what they wanted to do. He did everything he could and more to minister to Paul on behalf of those believers. But what do we see as the common reason that these men were counted faithful? is because they gave themselves sacrificially to the gospel of Christ and the growth of believers. It wasn't about themselves. It wasn't about what they could gain from this. Christ was their focus, as it was Paul's focus. They had the same desire, the same drive. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. I should look to read verses 20 to 22. Philippians 1, 20 says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not." You know, that could be each one of our life verses. We could take that and write that on a piece of paper and put it on the wall and say, "God, may everything I do be for your glory, that I wouldn't shame you in any way. But my life would be typified as for me to live as Christ, to die as gain." When we commit ourselves to Christ, the same thing can be true of us that's said of Timothy, that's said of Epaphroditus. The same commitment that Paul had in Philippians chapter 1. Turn with me to one more passage, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Most of you probably could quote these verses. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," this is Apostle Paul speaking, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We too can offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God's service and be counted faithful. So that one day when we stand before God, he will say to us, "Well done, a good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father, please help us to be faithful. Help us to honor you in all that we do. Help us to live our lives so that we in no way shame you. Help us to lift up your name, to lift up your word, to be a light to those around us. Father, help our light to shine brighter in these dark days. Father, help us to put on the armor that we need so that we can fight the spiritual battles with your help and your strength. Father, we thank you for the example of these two men that served Paul, ministered to him. Pray you'd help us to meditate upon these things. And I pray you'd help each one of us as we go through this next week to be counted faithful for you. In Jesus' name, amen.